Saw your prayers this afternoon. Written on the board, God and the Living of Life. And I hope by the end of this little discourse, little message this afternoon, that you'll know what that means. I'd like you to help me out a little bit. I'm going to give out a few scriptures, and if you will just say the scripture, and then we're going to read around just a little bit. Jeremiah 29:4-6. Okay? Titus 2:5. Okay, and then someone else get Titus 2:9. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:8. Okay, and Matthew 12:1. You got it, Devin? Okay, and as we read, and whoever reads, try to read clearly and distinctly and loudly so everyone can hear. And as we read these different scriptures, you're going to notice there's quite a diversity of what this is talking about. So as we read these scriptures, I'd like you to be thinking, what do they have in common? Jeremiah 29:4-6.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that have carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem and Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished.
Okay, Titus 2:5. It's talking to the women here, and there is one portion in particular I want to take note of. All right, Titus 2:9. Right, 1 Timothy 5:8. And Matthew 12:1. Okay, that is quite a conglomeration of scriptures. What do they have in common? We started off, God was talking to the children of Israel that were in captivity in Babylon, and He said, I want you to plant gardens, I want you to build houses, I want you to marry, I want you to give your sons and daughters to be married. In Titus 2:5, He was teaching the younger women to, it said, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, and that's what I want us to, I have that little part underlined, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. Titus 2:9 was an exhortation to servants or employees, if you will, to be obedient and to do the work that you're given to do. 1 Timothy 5:8 was instruction, and I know Sister Tammy touched on this a week or two ago in a testimony, but to provide, the importance of providing for your household. And then Matthew 12:1, Jesus, it talked about the disciples were hungry and they were going through the field and they plucked corn to eat. What do those scriptures have in common? It's life, isn't it? It's living life. There's work to do. There's jobs to go to. There's housework to be done. There's children to be raised. There's schooling to do. We're hungry, so there's eating to do and there's cooking to do. Isn't that just life? Now, how does that contrast to what we read in the book of Acts? What is the book of Acts about? Acts of what? The Acts of the Apostles. It's of the things that were done, the early morning church. Have you ever read through the book of Acts or even the New Testament and thought, well, I'm just not doing much? I mean, look at, you know, all these miracles and going and spreading the word of God and all of these wonderful big acts and things. This is means working for the Lord. Do you know, and this is the little burden I'd like to communicate to you this afternoon, The Acts was written over a period of years. And in between the Acts, there was a lot of living going on. All right? There was a lot of living going on. The Lord knows that. And the Lord created us to live life. To build houses, to plant fields, to plow the fields, to be keepers at home. You have to, clean the house, and you have the affairs of life to take care of. And one of the things I want to share with you today, I don't want you to ever feel guilty about just living life. Now, we're coming into revival meeting, and I know revival is a time to be stirred. And it's a time to be moved, and I want that to happen. But I also want us to remember that the Lord wants to stir us and move us right in the midst of living life. So it doesn't mean that all of a sudden now it's like if I could just not have any more housework and not have any fields to plow and not have school to go to. It just seems like that's taken so much time. If I could just not have to do that, then I could really do some things for God. Well, there's a lot of living to go on, and so God wants to be part of our living. And that's why I wrote God in the living of life. God does not want us to separate His presence and work in our life from just living life. If you're going to build a house with God by your side. If you're going to build a house, be communion with God about it. Pray about it. Seek the Lord about it. If you have the house to clean, let God be part of that. Don't separate that from your service to God. Clean heartily is unto the Lord, if you will. But the point is, when there's food to be cooked, you get hungry, you have physical needs and financial needs, and that's life. And we don't need to feel guilty because we have life to live. God was the one that made it that way. And that's what these scriptures that we read is quite a diversity. If you didn't have anything to tie them together, be like, how do these scriptures go together? But those scriptures were just normal life. And there's a lot of living that goes in between the acts. And the Bible is about spiritual victories. It's about deliverances that God does. It is about God wanting to do wonderful things in our life. And I believe God wants to do more things. And I trust you all take the balance of the word. I could just as well be exhorting everybody this afternoon to do more for the Lord and look for more opportunities. And that's right. And that's good to do that. But this afternoon, that's not my burden. This afternoon is I want you to know that there's a lot of living that goes on. And let's recognize God made us that way. And He wants to be part of that living. Sometimes people separate their walk with the Lord and their work, the work of God, and they tend to separate it from the temporal, financial, natural things of life. But God wants all those things to be integrated. So that in everything we do, now there's a scripture that says that, isn't there? In whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And he went a little bit further. It's for the first part of 1 Corinthians 10:31. He said, whether therefore you eat, or drink, or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. So if you're going to build a house, don't separate your work for God and the building of your house. Let God be part of it. Invite Him in. In your family, in your home, let God be the center of it. He said, well, I'm taking time with the children, and I know there's people that need to be visited, but I'm going to take time for the children. That's part of God's work. So in your living, let God be the center of it. Don't feel guilty about spending time with your children. Don't feel guilty about taking some... I know yesterday, two older boys were busy with other things, and they were gone. And so Ethan was at home, and so I took him out for a couple hours, and we went down here to the Farm Fest. Just Ethan and I. I don't need to feel guilty about that. It was just spending a couple hours with him, special time together. Those things are important, but that was part of living a life. But you know what? God was in the middle of it. That was part of my responsibility as a father to take some special time. So we don't need to feel guilty about living life. And I know sometimes men as well, but especially sometimes the sisters, I think, start to feel a little bit pressed with, the cares of life at home. and raising the children, it feels like, well, if I didn't have these responsibilities, maybe I could really do something for the Lord. Or maybe if you have the work to do and you have to go to your job and you think, if I didn't have to do this, I could do something for the Lord a little bit more. But do you know that going to your job, if you'll take God with you, that is the work of God? You don't have to separate Him. You don't have to feel like your job is not God's work. It really is if you'll go and be a witness, and every day you go to work, you're thinking, I'm going to be a light to the world. And I'm going to go and I want God to be in the center of my life today. Do you know that that's God wants to be in the middle of the living of your life? And we don't need to feel guilty for living life. Living for God, we can talk about reading. It's important for us to read the Bible every day. It's important. It's important for us to pray every day, to be in communion with God, to be in contact with Him. It's important for us to come to services. That's vital. It's important to take that time to come and be in services. But do you know that all of our time can't be spent in reading the Bible? You all know that. I mean, what would happen if we just sat home all day, all of us? We sat home and all day we just read the Bible. You'd say, oh, that would be glorious if I just had time to do that. But do you know, I don't think it would be so glorious, frankly. Because you need some time to live what you've been reading about. So take the time in your living. Take time to read. Let that be. Don't go a day. Don't let a day go by. You know, some people feel guilty. They get to the middle of their day and they think, you know what? I got caught up this morning. And I didn't read like I should have, or I didn't pray. You know what? I want to tell you this afternoon, stop feeling guilty about it. Now listen, this is what you do. If it comes to your mind and you didn't take the time, do you know what to do? Do it. Go get your Bible. Read. There's nothing magical about getting up at 3:30 in the morning reading and praying. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't make you more spiritual. And I know people think, well, they get up at 3:30 and pray. Yeah, but they probably go back to bed and probably about, you know, not other times you may be reading and praying. They may be living life. So the important thing is not that you do it at a certain time, although it's good to do it before you get so busy and your mind gets occupied with the affairs of life. Y'all know that too. But rather than get under a guilt trip if you maybe didn't take the time you should have, do something about it and go pray then. Think, oh, I didn't do it. Oh, I'm just so bad. I need to do better. Well, do better than that then. If it comes to your mind, say, Lord, I'll take some time right now and go spend some time with God. But let Him be a part of your living. And that's my exhortation. Let Him be part of your living. Don't feel guilty for living life. Again, work, school, home, eating, plowing your fields, mowing, homework, whatever you do, let God be in the middle of it. You know, children, there were so many times, you know, at school I remember, whether it be on test or work I have, it's like, Lord, would you help me get this done? I need some help here, and I need to get this essay written, or I'm on a test, and it's kind of hard. Lord, I need you to help me here. Let God be part of that. You don't have to say, well, that's separate from serving the Lord. No, if our entire being is given to God, it means everything we do, God wants to be a part of it. So whatever we do, let's integrate God. Let's let our life be integrated with His life. And do you know that's where the friendship, we talked about a little this morning, that's where your friendship will grow with God. Some people isolate so much their worship just whenever they come to church, as much or as little as that is. Some of the greatest times of worship ought to be just when you're living life. Driving down the road at school or at work or cleaning the house or doing something and you just feel the presence of God because your heart's lifted to the Lord. Let God be in the living of your life. And in everything we do, now you all remember, now Brother Justin said, and I wasn't here, Brother Randy, a couple weeks ago, you may have given a lesson that touched on some of these things. We won't take a lot of time with it, but over in Luke, in the 10th chapter, very familiar passage, talking about Mary and Martha. And I don't know if you read this then or not, but did you? We'll read it again. said, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She received Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I think I shared before, I think my mother feels like Mary got a bad rap, or Martha rather. Because come camp meeting time, my mom's the one in the kitchen. And sometimes we look at Martha and say, oh, Martha, she just was, you know, she just was neglecting the Lord. But do you know, Jesus was not getting her in trouble for living life. That's not what he was doing. Because keep this in mind, Martha was cumbered about, it said, with much serving. She was really busy. She had a lot to do. And Jesus was saying, Martha, we're okay. You know, Mary's chosen to sit and listen, and she's getting things that are going to last her forever. And this food is going to pass away. It's only going to last. So he said, one thing is needful. In other words, you know, a bowl of soup is fine, Martha. But we, you know, roast and turkey and chicken and ham, you know, one of those would have been enough. You get the point? Nothing's wrong with a feast. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it begins to take away from other areas of living life in our worship to the Lord, then we need to simplify. And that's what Jesus was saying. He wasn't getting her in trouble for cooking or for serving. He just said, you know, Martha, he said, you're careful, you're taking heed, you're being a good hostess, but you're troubled about a lot of stuff. And just one thing is needful. Just, you know, one thing is enough to feed us. We don't need the big fancy meal. And then you would have some time to also come and sit down and listen and do some other things. That covers a lot of ground. It's not just to the sisters, but for all of us, God wants to be part of living of life. We have food to cook. We have things to do. But let's be sure we don't get so focused on one part of living that we neglect the other parts. Some people get so caught up with work that they neglect their family, or they neglect coming to service, or they neglect doing other important things. We need to learn, Lord, to help us learn to balance that. But in all of those areas, Lord, I want you to be in the middle of my living life. It's not all going to be about acts. You know, I can talk about the places that I've gone, the things I've done, but do you know between those things in my life, there's been a whole lot of living. Just like there is in your life. And if I thought of it this way, if I were to write a book about my life, you know, I'd focus on the highlights, just like you would. I'd focus on the highlights, and some people could read and say, wow. But you know what? I'm not talking about when I was out mowing the yard, and when I was hungry and stopped, and my wife made me something to eat, and when the children were misbehaving, or the children and I went and did something together. Those are just, that's kind of just living life. And if you write a book, you hit the highlights. But what's important for us today is that let God be in the middle of it. Don't feel guilty about your job. Don't feel guilty about the work you have to do. Don't feel guilty about your schoolwork. Just let God be a part of it. And let that be your life, and let that be your focus. And you'll find then, as you're responsible to let God be in the center while you live life, you'll have some more acts. He'll give you more to do. He'll give you some things to do. One thing is sufficient. I'd like to, another scripture in Luke 21, he said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And we may say, oh, we're good, we're measured up. But he said, and cares of life. And that's where I think it probably starts hitting on all of us. And cares of life, so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. The cares of life, that's kind of just the living. And who of us here does not have cares of life? The Lord wasn't getting us in trouble in this scripture either. The drunkenness will get us in trouble. Cares of life, if we're not careful, will be a snare to us. But just because we have events and cares of life does not mean we're doing wrong. But he said, be careful that it doesn't, you don't get overcharged. You know what overcharged means? If you overcharge a battery, what have you given it? Blows up. And how does it blow up? What have you done if you overcharged it? What have you physically, in essence, done to it? You put more on it than it could hold. It's been too much. And that's what he's saying about the cares of life. We have living. But he's saying be careful that you don't let one part of it become too much that it dominates the rest of your life. And this is where we need the Holy Spirit to help us to be a balanced people. You don't need to feel guilty if you can't spend 12 months out of the year on the mission field, folks. But in your living, at your job, let that be your mission field. See, it changes your perspective of life then. Changes perspective of how we approach living life. Let God be the middle. Let's not be overcharged. But as we already heard, let's seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's read. Let's pray. Let's come to service. And let's do good for other people. That's important. But there's a lot of living that goes in from Sunday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Sunday. There's a lot of living going on. And I want to encourage you all. Don't feel guilty about living life, but let God be in the living of your life. Amen.